of God in the house tonight. Praise God. You can be seated. Peter Magnolia. Peter, Pedro, Pete, Pietro. Age 44. Was born on October the 9th, 1975 in Long Island, New York. Moved to Birmingham, Alabama in 1978. Graduated with honors from Glen Iris Baptist High School in 1994. Peter married the love of his life, May 10th, 2007. He loved to play the drums, was a fierce chess player. Peter went to be with the Lord on May 26, 2020. He was a member of New Life United Pentecostal Church for 34 years, pastored by Reverend Barry Sutton. Peter was a devoted husband, father, and was loved by all who knew him. He was the founder of Picasso Painting, later buying the franchise rights to Five Star Painting in Birmingham. He was preceded in death by his father, Giuseppe Magnolia. He's survived by his mother, Francesca, wife, Mary Elise Magnolia, children, Aubriana, Francesca, and Naomi Lynn, siblings, Monia Alcantara, with husband Oswaldo, Maria Magnolia, Abigail Alcantara, husband Augustine, Giovanni Magnolia, wife Casey, four uncles, four aunts, seven nephews, one niece, a host of cousins, father-in-law, Dr. Roger Lacey, and wife Velvet, mother-in-law, Robbie Lacey, sisters-in-law, Natalie Lacey and Bonnie Lacey. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Home International. That's our dear sister Amber in the orphanage down in Guatemala. I love the presence of God that I feel in this house. I can only say amen to the commendations that were made by Brother Terrell and Brother Giovanni about Peter. What an inspiration he was to us in the valley of the shadow of death. And Peter and Elise knew from like 2 years out what God was doing, even though it was very hard to process. They knew exactly what God was doing, and it was so precious to watch God speak to them. And about a year ago, he's sitting in the hospital in Dallas or Houston and at a cancer treatment place, and God says, "You're going to love it here. We have so much to do." And at that point, nobody really knew how it was going to turn out, because we really do believe God, and we believe that God is a healer, and we've got evidence of that. And Brother Ronnie Miller can wave at you on the back row back there and tell you that God can heal cancer. And so God works his work and plies his plan. And we just say amen to what God does. But we love Brother Peter. We love his little family and all of his household. And we look forward to seeing him. Now, we're going to talk about tonight where he is and what he's doing and what the circumstances are. The writer of Ecclesiastes says it this way: "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And this is an overview of aging and what happens to the human body in aging. "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain, your eyes grow dim. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened." And so you begin to break down, and your body begins to, while you're standing on your feet, your body begins to turn to dust. "And the doors shall be shut in the street, you can't hear anymore, and the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird." He gets up early, "and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, that gray hair comes out, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and you don't have the strength that you had, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed. And this is a metaphor for what happens when the spirit and the body separate. The silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Just four really beautiful metaphors for what happens when the spirit detaches from the body. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The body ages and the body dies, but the spirit goes on. And the most important part of you is the part of you that's inside you tonight. And that's the part that needs the most or the greatest attention. And if Peter were able to speak to you tonight, he would reach out to you and he would say, you need to make it right with God. And you need to have your peace with God. And as an apostolic, he would quote Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 to you. And he would say, repent, which just simply means turn around and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, this promise is unto you and your children, those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that would be the message that Peter would give you tonight. And he's in a position to tell you that it's worth everything. All the effort you put into it, this living for God business is something that is essential, because your body won't last and your natural life won't go on and on. But there is a part of you that will live forever, and you need to live it in the presence of God. Now, death is a transition. Death is not a cessation of being. And people, when they leave this world, I don't think they lose consciousness for a moment. And the biblical representation is like this. It's like passing through a doorway. Jesus said, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abram and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God's people are alive when they're walking here on the earth, and they're alive after they lay this body down and move into the presence of God. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. He told them just now, the patriarchs are still alive. They still maintain their earthly identities. He had confronted all of their presuppositions about life and death and heaven. Because there were, as there are today, a lot of different ideas about all that, and typically a little fear about it, and folks don't talk about it a lot. But Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Paul said that when you're leaving your body behind, you go right into the presence of God. And one of the oldest patriarchal era books of the Bible is the book of Job. And this is what the old man Job says about this. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He just told you, as old as the patriarchal period, there was knowledge of the resurrection. And he said, this body, even though it comes apart and even though it turns to dust, God's going to reconstitute this body. Now, you don't know how that works, but you don't know how a rose works. You don't know how that works, but you don't know how a baby's hand works. You don't know how God raises the dead, but you don't know how the bones are formed in the womb and how the DNA projects what that man or woman's going to be before they ever draw their first earthly breath. And so God does a lot of things that are beyond our pay grade. And one of the most notable things is that he's going to put Job's body back together again, and Abraham's body back together again, and Isaac's body back together again, and he's going to put Peter's body back together again. Praise God. I'm not telling you that's our preference. I'm just telling you that's God's plan. And Jesus says this in John chapter 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, if you were talking to Paul or to Jesus about Peter tonight, he would never talk about him in terms that he was dead. He would say he's asleep. And that's talking about his earthly body. But here Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that you have a devil, because Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There's a lot of information in these passages. One part of that information is that Jesus just identified himself as the Lord God of Moses, and he proclaimed himself to be the I am that I am. But what he also said is that Abraham stepped up, left his earthly body behind, and went right into the presence of God. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, nobody there would come back here, not for one second, because they've already tasted of the wine of the kingdom on that side, and they're already standing in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you look at this and you wonder, well, how do we transition and how is it that this takes place? There's a great story in Luke chapter 16 that we typically just call the rich man and Lazarus. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus is a beggar that lives in the street out in front of a very wealthy man's house, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So now we see this informs us that when you are in covenant with God, when you're in covenant with God and you breathe your last breath, angels come and take you, and you have an escort into the presence of God. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now, Elise, that's exactly what happened the other night at your house. I don't know if you heard them or saw them or felt them, but I know that you knew when life left that body, and when it did, there's no power on earth that could have kept him here. But angels are saying, come on, Peter, let's go. We're moving to the next level. We're moving up into the next realm right now. And so he didn't go by himself, and he wasn't all alone, and he wasn't cut off from everything and everybody. He moved on into, and I'll tell you this, he met some people there that he knew. He met a little rotund Sicilian by the name of Joe. He saw him over there. And there's some church folks over there that he knows. Somebody say praise the Lord. And the rich man died also and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now, that's what you don't want to do. So that's the place where we were telling you, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. You have to make a covenant with God. You have to get in contract with God. It's because you don't want to do what the rich man did. If the angels brought Peter into the presence of God, then I don't know what brought the rich man down into hell, but we don't want to even find out about that. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This also is very informative. It tells us about hell. It tells us about the state of the dead or those who have passed on. This man still knows who he is. He knows who Lazarus is. He understands everything that he understood while he was standing on the earth. And now he's in torment, and that's a thing that you don't want to experience. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And this is by no means a diatribe against wealth or a veneration of poverty. This is just simply where these two gentlemen were. And one was right with God and the other one was not. It had nothing to do with their economic status. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, or if you would, they have the word of God. By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, or they won't hear the word of God, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now that's an incredible statement, but it means you won't come into a faith walk with God because of miracles. You'll come into a faith walk with God because of the word of God, and because you by will and volition embrace the word of God and come into a kingdom experience. So then what is their current state once they've made transition into the presence of God? We get a little glimpse in a story that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And we find it in several of the Gospels. But in Luke chapter 9, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and James and John, Jesus is the subject here, and went up to a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment, his clothing, was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease or his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. This is really interesting. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses died on the mountain before the people of God entered into Israel or entered into Canaan's land. And God buried him there. So he is a type of normal, natural, Old Testament burial. Elijah, on the other hand, was taken up by God. He didn't die an earthly death. He was transported up by what the scripture calls a fiery chariot or a whirlwind, and he went into the presence of God. Now, both of these guys have been gone for centuries, and now they're standing on the earth, and they're talking to Jesus about the crucifixion that's going to happen in just a few days in Jerusalem. That lets me know they are yet in their previous identity. They are yet involved in the business of God, and that they know what's going on the earth. They have an idea. They're talking to him. He involves them in his work. This is really interesting. There's another passage that's comparable to this in the book of Revelation. John the Revelator, the disciple or the apostle John, who gives us the beautiful book of Revelation, gets a tour guide that takes him around and shows him heaven and shows him the new Jerusalem. And he writes all about that. And here's how this works. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. He thinks it's an angel that's showing him around the new Jerusalem. Then he saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. This was not an angel. This was a brother in the Lord who had already gone on before, died, and gone on into heaven. And somehow God tasked him with the job of revealing these things or being the tour guide in this revelatory experience for the Apostle John. And that's kind of what Peter and I were joking about when I told him, I want you to be my tour guide when I get there now, because you'll be there for a while. You'll know your way around, but I'll be a newbie. I'll be a rookie. I'll be a new guy on the block, and you'll have to show me around when I get there. He said he would, and I'm going to hold him to it. So how do we reunite with them, and how does this all take place? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven in the shape that you're in. You got to have a transformation, and we're all going to be changed. Some of us are going to die and pass on and the conventional way, but some of us are going to be around at the coming of the Lord. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He said that flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, what is that change? That's an immortalized body like the body of Jesus Christ. And for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and Giovanni's already quoted this, death is swallowed up in victory. Sister Elise, this is not the end of this story. This is just a transitional moment in the story. Sister Franca, this is not the end of the story, but we're going to see all these folks again. And that's going to be a great getting up morning. That's going to be a great celebration morning. We sing an old song that says, meet me in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. If you've got somebody over there already, that's a mighty big place, and you better make a plan for where you're going to meet one another. But the old song says, I know what we'll do. We'll find the eastern gate, and we'll meet right inside of there. Well, I don't know how exactly all that's going to work, but I know that's going to be a reunion like there has never been before. That's going to be a time of testimony like there has never. And in that moment, you'll get to tell your story of how you made it through and how you made it over. And you'll get to sing the song of how God delivered you and how God brought you out. Death is swallowed up in victory. When Jesus went to the cross, he was an innocent man. And God had arranged it by the power of his prophecy that any man hanged on a cross would have a curse come on him. Even an innocent man hanged on a cross would have a curse come on him. And so God set it up. So when he's dying on the cross, death thinks it's just another day. Death thinks it's just another skinny Jew hanging on another Roman cross. And the grave has just opened its maw and it's ready for another bite of humanity. And they think it's just business as usual. And hell just thinks this is just going to be another in a long line, and this will never end. But something different was about to take place, because the man that was hanging on the cross had no sin. He was a perfect man. He was an ideal man. And the only claim that death had was sin. And the only claim that grave had was sin. And the only claim that hell has was sin. And Jesus went down into death. But death had him. But death wasn't going to be able to hold him. And grave took him, but grave wasn't going to be able to hold him either. And hell said, that's mine. But on the third day, nobody knew what was going to happen. But on the third day, something started shaking and something started rumbling, and light broke forth in the darkness. And Jesus walked into the office in hell, and he took the keys to death and hell and the grave. Oh, you ought to give God thanks for the victory. Mighty God. Mighty God. So death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? I think that's a taunt. Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And see, since then, it's kind of been the same business as usual, because people have been dying for the last 2,000 years. Even church folks dying. And grave gets them, and death takes them. But the scripture says death is the last enemy that'll be put underfoot. Praise God. But you know what? They're not as confident and cocky as they used to be, because they remember that skinny Jew that kicked the door off the hinges and took the keys. And he's called the firstborn of many brethren. And he's called the firstborn from the dead. And there's going to be a day where, when that trumpet sounds, places all over this city are going to get messed up. Those finely manicured graveyard lawns and all of that pretty stuff in there, it's going to break up. Somebody's going to look like they've been in there with a backhoe. It's going to blow up. People are going to rise from the dead all over this city, all over the world, by the power of the Word of God, by the power of the covenant, by the power of the blood, and by the name of Jesus. Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on, 1 Thessalonians. But I would have you not be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We sorrow. We don't like it when people go on a long trip. And that's exactly what this is. This is a trip. We don't know how long it's going to be, but it's not going to be forever. We don't sorrow even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, does anybody here believe that with all of your heart tonight? Ah, we bless your name, Jesus. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's going to be a loud moment. Trumpets, light show. It's going to be a waking up moment. With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we know tonight where Peter is, and we know with whom he is. And we know that our time is short here. All you got to do is look around. Pestilence and earthquakes and upheaval in the streets. And this is going to continue till the coming of the Lord. But it's not going to be a long time. We are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And it is a great day to be in covenant with God. So tonight we're saying goodbye for a moment to Brother Peter. And we've come to celebrate his life and to memorialize him. And we've come to worship God, the God of Peter's salvation. And we've come to give thanks to God for the wonderful covenant that he's made with men. And tonight, we want to spend a little time in prayer right now. I'd like for the praise group to come and just sing what you sang this morning at the close of the service. And I'd like for us to just worship God a little bit here right now. Could you do that right now? Lift up your hands, lift up your voice. If you're glad for the knowledge of God, and you're glad for the redemption and for the covenant and for the blood and for the promise, let's begin to praise him and magnify him here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. I praise you, mighty God. Praise God. And I'm going to do something that I've probably never done at a funeral before, but told Peter I would. If you're here and you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God will meet you right here. We'll pray with you, and God will fill you with that biblical experience, the baptism of the Spirit of God. If you'd like to go down in the water in Jesus' name, we have water. We are ready for you. We will put you down in the water, and Jesus will cover every sin, everything you've ever been or done that's not like God. God will wash that away right now. Praise God. So let's just worship a little bit right now, and let's give God praise and magnify him. Praise God. Praise God. Family, reach over, lay your hands on one another. Reach over, church family. Lay your hand on your family, your your group that you meet with. Let's pray for one another. Let's worship God together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Name, we praise your name, we worship you, we lift you up, oh God. Glory, glory, glory. Let's clap our hands, lift a voice of praise unto God. We thank you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, church family, you want to remember to be lifting up Sister Elise and the girls and Sister Franca and Peter's sisters and Giovanni. This whole family, just continue to lift them up, because even though we have promise and even though we believe God, it's still very painful. And we want to pray, God, keep them and nurture them all the way through this journey. Praise God. Thank the church family for all their support and all their kindness here. the family and the guests of the family. There is a meal prepared for you down at the far end of the building. You're going to go all the way to the end of this run, and you'll find stairway and an elevator. Go down and then all the way to the end of the building that way, and you'll find the gym, and they're set up and they're ready for you there. So I want to invite all the Peter's family and all the guests that came to the funeral with the family to go down. God bless you. So good to see you tonight.